Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cenacle Series, and this is the ebook series. And we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We thank you, most holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. The School of Mary invocation. O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and live in the spirit of our vocation more and more, the spirit of faith, hope, and love, the spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God, the spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility, the spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So again, just a joy to come together again. We're grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. We are without Maureen today, and I thought, if you recall last week, we hit on and completed the last footnote of the summary that Father Inuzzi gave us. And I thought we just, instead of jumping over to the next, onto the next segment, we perhaps just do a little bit of a highlight check. Yeah, we'll just talk about a couple things. And since we have a small group, I thought we would hit on a couple points, read them, reflect on them, meditate on them. And then if someone would like to either ask a question, and again, if I can answer the question, I will. If not, we'll save the question. Perhaps for this Sunday when we have Father Inuzzi, we can pose the question to him. But again, we can share comments and questions if you'd like. So, and to do that, I think the most orderly way to do it would be on the bottom toolbar, you have a opportunity to raise your hand. If you raise your hand, it brings your picture and your connection to the top, and I can see it. And then I can just allow you to unmute, and we can just go from there. So again, just if in case you're joining us for the first time, this is a review, a methodical review of Father Joseph Leo Iannuzzi's dissertation, doctoral dissertation, which he completed through the Gregorian University, authorized by the Holy See. And in essence, it received abrogation, approval, high accolades. So in essence, Father has taken Luis's writings, he's summarized them, he's given us the theological perspective on it. He's also driven us into the volumes, utilizing the footnotes. So again, we have everything here as we await the critical edition of the volumes, which probably will not be much different than the typical, which has already come out, only in Italian, of course, at this time, but with footnotes and with more explanations. But again, we don't know when that's going to happen. But in the interim, we have this great gift that the Blessed Lord has given to us. So again, everything that Father did in his doctoral dissertation received the church's seal of approval. Because remember, the Gregorian University is authorized by the Holy See. So when the Gregorian University speaks with respect to students, it's also speaking on behalf of the Holy See, which is pretty incredible. We've talked about the divine will acting as a cog. You know, in a cog, there's a main source of power. It's a main entity. That main entity, of course, is God. And God is the driving force. Now, we're all little cogs, the little children, but what he's done now is, and he explains this, and I'll explain where that you may find that, he's bringing a small group of souls to him more intimately than ever before. So in essence, as God is here in the main cog, he's bringing us, just a few, to become intimate with him, to recognize the source, to understand the source, to know the source, to love the source, to trust the source, so that we may take what's been given and pass it through to all other cogs, all other souls. And of course, Adam was the first to do this. And when he sinned, of course, he stopped the mechanism. I'm trying to stop it right now. I can't. There it is. So when the cog stopped and the power stopped, of course, God could not, there it goes. God could not transmit his grace and graces to the level, on the level that he was doing so to Adam and to Eve. So he waited for generations. He waited 6,000 years. He says the time is now. So actually, he's revitalizing everything, putting back into operation the design of God, of the Father. And he's bringing us, hear us, little nobodies, to him so that we may receive. It's just incredible. If you want to find out more about this cog sort of enlightenment, it's found in volume 16, February 2nd, 1924. Absolutely worth reading. Absolutely worth meditating on. It'll be a great explanation. It'll create a visual, I think, in our minds as to how this whole operation works. It's actually very simple, but yet very complicated. So again, volume 16, February 2nd, 1924. As we've been journeying, of course, when we first were introduced to the divine will, if you were anything like I was confused. It was foggy. I couldn't see much. All I saw was 36 volumes. I said, no, I can't do it. I can't read 36 volumes. I don't have time. I'm not going back to school. I can't do it. I'm too old. But it's not like that. It's once we enter, whether we enter through the Hours of the Passion, the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom, Louisa's letters, the volumes, whatever gate, whatever door, whatever window we enter, God opens everything up to us. And the amount of knowledges that he transfers to us, even with our little minds, is incredible. And, you know, when we say grateful to have awakened today, both physically, yes, we woke up physically, but we're also waking up spiritually, because whatever we've read and pondered last evening or two nights ago is beginning to make more sense. Why? Not because we're smart, not because we're figuring it out, but because God is allowing his grace and graces to flow so that we may understand what he calls the language of heaven. And that's not another vernacular. It's not like Spanish or French or German. It's an understanding behind the words, behind the vernacular that he's using in order for us to understand. It's really incredible. So we're on 5.3, or we finished 5.3.7.1.1, if you're following in Father's dissertation. And this was the elaborations of P.G. Renzi's, a theologian. And this is really the summary in of itself is mind-boggling, because it touches on so many things and so many poignant points as the completion of what God is doing, the restoration of what God has been doing for 6,000 years since the fall of Adam. So I thought we would just, let me bring the pointer out so I can remember where I am. And I apologize, my voice, my allergies are really very bad today. I'm going to do the best I can. So again, as we go along through this, if you see the hand to raise it, if you'd like to say something, share something, ask a question, you may do so by raising your hand. If you can't find the hand functionality, just perhaps send me a chat. Hey, Pete, I want to say something. And then we'll open up. We'll have fun. We'll have the joy of the Lord today. We're a little bit more of a relaxed session today, because we have a few people. It's much more manageable. And this is really basically a review of what we've talked about for the last either 6 or 7 weeks. It's taken us some time just to do this one paragraph. So I'm going to just read it in its entirety, and we'll pause for a moment. And remember, this is Father Nizzi's summary. And then he drives us again into the volumes using the footnotes, which we completed last week, ending in 275. So we begin. Noteworthy is P.J. Renzi's application of the Maximian divinization that is realized in man and that is unattainable by man's efforts, as it is God's pure favor. In presenting Maximus's preliminary stage of man's potential being that is situated in the mind of God to the stage of his created being that occurs in the act of creation, P.J. Renzi's lays the foundation for Maximus's final stage, the final stage of man's transformation of being into eternal being, the way we used to be, that occurs with the consent of his free will. This transformation is an act of pure grace that culminates in divinization and establishes the continuous link of man's temporal being with God's eternal being. Similarly, Louisa affirms that God's gratuitous gift of living in the divine will empowers man to continuously cooperate with his eternal being that transcends man's finite and temporal being. This gift is realized by virtue of God's great, unheard of, and long chain of graces that impart to his soul continuous growth, whereby the acts of man's finite being are absorbed, raised, and transformed by the operation of God's eternal being. God's eternal being and operation, which alone brings about in man the continuous link of the eternal with the temporal, whereby the one is multiple and the multiple is one, is rediscovered in Louise's text, where the continuous cooperation of prelapsarian Adam's being with the divine will of God's being forged the bond, the union of the one in the many. Through Maximus's theology of divinization and Louise's theology on the gift of living the divine will, there emerges the reality of the human creature becoming by grace what God is by nature. End quote. That is astonishing. The great gifts, the unheard of gifts, the long chain of graces imparts to the soul the continuous growth, that continuity, constancy. Jesus talks about constancy. He says, without constancy, there cannot be life in the divine will. This can't be one day in the divine will and the next day out of it. Of course, we're going to do that in the beginning. And God is going to, it's almost like God is holding our hand. And either when he takes the gift away from us or when we voluntarily leave by sin or some other negative means, of course, he cannot cooperate. He cannot participate in that. And I think Tony Hickey had mentioned the analogy of holding hands with God. Once we fuse with God, we're holding God's hand. And as long as we're holding God's hand, we are one. Through a mystical experience, we are one. Taking all of God, all of what he wants to give, for as much as we can, as much as we can possess. Our soul was created for containment, to contain God. So it's the most elastic thing in history. But it grows proportionally to our desire. How much do we want to know God? That's how much room God will give us. It gives us a void. He calls it a void, an opportunity, a space in which to fill in our heart and our soul and our mind, God. And that's what we're doing today. So I'm going to make sure I have everyone on the screen here. So if anyone would like to say anything, just let me know. Again, this summary is incredible. Again, it's taken us, I think, 7 weeks to get through these perhaps three paragraphs with the footnotes. Okay, so we'll continue. Again, I just I highlighted a couple things. When I first started, I was reading everything, and I said, we can't do everything all over again. That'll be impossible. But here's the first one that I have. I'll keep it down here so I can see it. This came from volume 11, May 25th, 1916. And the passage itself was entitled, "The Current War Will Intensify and Italy Will Be Invaded. How Jesus Cultivates the Soul So That She May Produce Fruit." And I'll take it down here and I'll start actually with the beginning of this paragraph. "In seeing that the divine justice will ignite its fury even more against the poor creatures, I felt like dying," says Louisa. "Almost to distract me from such tormenting scenes, Jesus told me, 'My daughter, my love for the creatures is so great that as soon as the soul decides to give herself to me, I surround her with so much grace. I caress her, I move her, I pick her up, I provide her with sensible graces, fervor, inspirations, squeezes to my heart. So in seeing herself graceful, the soul begins to love me, forming like a foundation of prayers and pious practices inside her heart, and she begins to exercise the virtues. All this forms a flowery field in the soul." End quote. Again, there's so much in there also to talk about. You can probably devote a whole program to that. But the one part of this response by God is really, in a nutshell, how easy it can be to receive this gift and to actually journey in the divine will. Remember, there's a zillion different levels in the divine will. When we say living in the divine will, we don't necessarily mean living in its totality. We don't mean living in perpetuity. We don't mean living like Louisa did. What we mean is we've gotten our foot in the door. We've gone through a window, a door, an attic space. We're in the foyer. Now it's up to us. Now Jesus says our work happens once we're inside. How much do we want to see? How much do we want to recognize? How much do we want to unveil? That takes work. But he says, as soon as the soul decides to give herself to me, I surround her with so much grace. I caress her, I move her, I pick her up. So God waits for us. We act as a trigger when we fuse. When the soul decides to give herself to me, we ask for that in our Pravinian act in the morning. We ask for it in our actual acts throughout the day. And we know what the criteria is. The two most important criteria is to be in the state of grace and to have an ardent desire. And that's exactly what Jesus says here. As soon as the soul decides to give herself to me, and we're assuming in the state of grace, that's why frequent reconciliation is really highly advisable. We always want to be in that state of grace for that moment when God gives us the gift on loan. We never know when that's going to happen. We may not even realize it happened. But yet we've lived in the divine will for that moment, for that act, whatever God intended us to do or allow us to do in the divine will. I think Jesus articulates the requirements, the prerequisites. He says, we must be in the state of grace. We must have an ardent desire. We must have an upright intention. We must want this gift for everyone in charity, not just for ourselves, not just for our family. And the fourth is, what is the fourth? State of grace, ardent desire. Oh, ask for the gift. The fourth is the ask for the gift. He wants to hear us ask for it. Jesus, may I fuse in your most holy divine will today and every day. He wants to hear us ask for it. It's amazing. He says, he's enlightened by our words. And then right away, I thought about how frequently I misuse words or use them negatively. He's listening all the time. Yeah, we can hide from our spouses, perhaps. We can hide from certain individuals. Can't hide from God. Everything we know, everything we do, everything we want, he knows. He says joyfully, he says, I'm spying on you. I'm watching you, especially when circumstances happen, when God's mysterious permissible will allows some event to happen, which doesn't look good. In fact, sometimes it could be very bad from the outside. But yet God is waiting for our response. He says a sure sign of the surest sign to know that one is living in the divine will is the ability to handle the situation we're in with proper temperament, proper posterity, proper love. To be able to handle all obstacles with joy, just like Jesus did. How many times was he spit on, kicked, slapped, spoken illy of? Just took it. He prayed. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I think that's really important. As soon as the soul decides to give to herself to me, I surround her with so much grace. I caress her, I move her, I pick her up. I provide her with sensible graces, fervor, inspiration, squeezes to my heart. He gives us what we need to stay there. We're just so weak, we can't stay there. But as he gives us this gift on loan that Jesus speaks about, when he takes it back, he leaves behind there a residue, so to speak, a residual. And that residual, that residue is for us to crave it more, to desire it more, to remember the euphoria that we may have felt once in it. We may have recognized it. Have you ever had an opportunity where you're thinking, you're praying, you're doing something in the divine will, And no matter what's happening around us or what the problems we have in our lives, all of a sudden you just feel, you have this beautiful feeling, this feeling of peace, of happiness, of contentment, of just harmony. And, you know, sort of like the aches and pains leave, they dissipate. Only through God can we achieve that kind of feeling or feelings, and especially through the divine will. So again, as soon as the soul decides to give herself to me, I surround her with so much grace. The grace keeps us there. That is astonishing. Volume 11, Church's Imprimatur Nihil Obstat. Church found nothing wrong with that statement. Thanks be to God. I was going to highlight this bottom. I had it highlighted and I didn't, but maybe I'll just, again, if anyone wants to chime in or something, or give me a comment, or how you feel, or a question about it, if we can answer it, we certainly will. Okay, I'll skip over the Celestial Farmer, because that may just take us a little bit too long, and I don't want to go past the hour like we usually do. Okay, so scanning down again, I know we talked about 4 weeks ago, we talked about indulgences. And I think the reason why we brought this up was, you know, when Jesus speaks about making the divine will our life, and to do that, we have to give up things. In fact, Jesus says, if you start losing things, know you're not losing them, just know it's me taking them from you. You know, he's preparing us, like he prepared Louisa. Now he's preparing us for heaven. We don't need certain things. We don't need everything that we have in the world, really, in heaven. So he may start taking things away from us if that's for our better good. Yeah, I can't find it. But Jesus tells us about giving up holy things. And our Blessed Lady also says it. I think she says it in day 16, I think it is, where she actually explains it a bit further. She says, it's about giving up holy things, but always according to the circumstances. So she sort of gives us a caveat to that. It doesn't negate what Jesus says. On the contrary, I think it further expands on what Jesus says. And we have to use common sense when it comes to giving up even holy things. And I think we use the example of, if there's three people running a soup kitchen that feeds hundreds of people that are hungry, and you're told that your other two companions cannot make it, and you decide, okay, you know what? I'm going to give up even holy things. I'm not going to the soup kitchen today. I'm going to read the divine will. Knowing you're the only one that's going to open up that soup kitchen. Well, that's, I think, according to the circumstances that our Blessed Mother spoke about. Maybe perhaps then you go to the soup kitchen. You enable those people to eat. You give them what God wants to give them. And then you find time to do your reading or do your studying. Again, we've got a lot of time. We can't invent hours. There's only 24 hours in a day, but we can better use, reallocate time for watching TV for 3 hours. Cut it down to an hour. That gives you 2 hours of reading and studying right away. If we're exercising for an hour and a half, exercise for 45 minutes. We can reallocate part of the 24 hours for the divine will. That's why becoming an oblate, we give a promise to Jesus that we will spend at least a half an hour, 30 minutes on studying, listening, reading, meditating, anything. The hours of the Passion, Louisa's letters, which are beautiful, the volumes, the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom, it's all there. All the books, you must know books, Prodigies of Mary. I mean, there's more resources than we have time for. Even if we dedicated 24 hours a day to the divine will in reading and studying and listening, we wouldn't be able to do it all. No way. There's just too much. But there's a lot, so that these are all doors. These are all windows in which to enter. I know some people that say, the hours of the Passion, I love it. That's what got me started in divine will. And then God's going to use that as a vehicle to bring them to the volumes, to bring them to the Virgin Mary of the Kingdom, and vice versa. Those who come into the volumes or the Virgin Mary of the Kingdom will resonate toward the hours of the Passion. In fact, Father Inuzzi, I think it was on one of our sessions with a Q&A, someone posed the question, Father, I don't have a lot of time to devote to the divine will, but I love it. And I do want to make it my life to the best of my ability without foregoing my other responsibilities. How can I best do this? And Father's response was, pray the hours of the Passion, because it's the quickest access to the divine will, because it's an active participation with Jesus in his Passion. It's the fastest. It's the closest union. But again, anywhere we start is a great start, because we're going to end up with it all anyway. So we talked about indulgences. Indulgences are given to us, plenary indulgences. And they're usually given for devotions. Jesus says, I am not giving you an indulgence, but I'm giving you a part of me. So again, what's greater? An indulgence? Very good. Indulgences are good. What's greater? An indulgence or a part of Jesus? Intimately given to us, specifically given to us, individually and collectively. So we talked about that. Again, I'm not speaking highly of indulgences, but if we have a choice between an indulgence and receiving a part of Jesus, there's no competition there. Okay. I didn't highlight anything in this one, but this is where Jesus speaks about Luisa's office, and we all have an office. We all have an office. We all have something to do. And we all can't do the same thing. Otherwise, the work wouldn't get done. And all offices are equally important, no matter what it is. And, you know, all the offices combined, those living in the divine will or striving to, and even those who don't know anything about the divine will are still part of the office. Because let's take the people that work at the electric company, that are working hard to keep the electricity and the lights on in your house so that you may read, listen, or even join a sonical like this, without which we wouldn't be able to communicate as easily as we do. They're participating. They don't know it, but they are. What more of those who are called to read, to listen, to study, to pray for one another, to do acts and rounds? What the greatest opportunity we have to help everyone, past, present, and future, all souls, is to do our acts and rounds. Because God is so elated when that happens, that he showers gifts, graces to all souls. And the grace and graces that are distributed by God are to be used by the souls to desire this gift, to know this gift. That's impossible on our own. So we all have an office. Never think your office is insignificant. It's not. There's no such thing as an insignificant office. We're not going to be Louisa, but we don't have to be Louisa. There's one Louisa. There's only one Joan or one Debbie or one Linda. I don't have any guys on tonight, so I can't use any male names. At least I don't see any gentlemen with us tonight. Can't really see very well. So the office is something highly recommend to read. That's in volume 12, February 13th, 1919. I think we spent almost a whole session on that. The next footnote we talked about was on different ways to fuse oneself in the divine will. Again, that's nice to know also. I have something highlighted here I'd like to read, if I may. And remember also, if you'd like to say something, just raise your hand or send me a chat. Say, hey, Pete, I want to say something. Okay, so here it says in volume 17, May 10th, 1925. I think this is Louisa speaking. Quote, but who can say all that I did and said? I would be too long. Besides, I lack the words to express what I say before the Supreme Majesty. It seems to me that here in the low world, we don't use the same language as in that immense empty space. End quote. So what she was saying is, in the low world on earth, we don't communicate the same way we do in this immense void in the divine will. Jesus says it's the language of heaven. And like we explained before, it's not a new vernacular. It's not French. It's not English. It's not Spanish, German. It's not a language translated. It's the source of restoration in its understanding behind the words, behind the vernacular that Jesus uses to communicate with us. The ultimate meaning of what he's saying, beyond what Webster's dictionary or the thesaurus says, way beyond that. It's mystical, so it's difficult to explain. It's difficult to pinpoint, because it'll move depending on the individual. It'll vacillate. That's a really good passage also from volume 17, May 10, 1925. Okay, let's take it down a little bit more. And something here, okay. Right, this I think is continuing with that same passage. And again, Louisa stating, quote, "My sweet Jesus, all goodness told me, my daughter, the empty space is my unrequited will, placed at your disposal, which should be filled with so many acts as so many as the creatures would have done, had they all fulfilled our will." So these are the voices. This is that space that God created in which to house him, to take God and to place him in us. A void, a cavity, a space, a field of its own. Adam was supposed to do that. He was supposed to fill that void given to him, but he didn't do it. So our Lord, our Lady, and Louisa had to do it, and then do it on behalf of all of us who do not know how to do it, because that knowledge was not passed down from Adam nor Eve. So we have to fill that void. The second void we talked about also, that's the first void, the one that God creates. That's a good void. That's space for God. The second void is not good. That's the void that we create through missed opportunities or neglect or sloth. Those opportunities where we were in a position to give glory to God on the level to God, due to God, and we didn't. We didn't give a thank you. We didn't give a I love you. And Jesus says, these voids, these created voids by us, these negative voids, they must be filled before anyone can enter heaven. Hence, he's giving us the time now to double that filling, so to speak, by doing our acts and rounds. He wants us to fill all of our voids here on earth. Because if we do that, we purge out all the bad. With the grace and graces, and the combination of all the gifts God's giving us, he prepares us. He prepares us for heaven. As he says, at that point, the soul will not go to purgatory, because there's nothing to be cleansed. There's nothing to be purged. It's been done already. Plus, you're fused with Jesus. Jesus is not going to send himself to purgatory unless he's there to visit souls. So yes, to avoid purgatory, it's possible through the divine will. Again, it's one of those things I probably wouldn't explain to somebody or try to explain to somebody who's brand new to the divine will. You know, you can avoid purgatory if you study the divine will. They're going to say, I don't think you know what you're saying. So you may want to save that. Or you may want to give it his full context, not like I'm doing here, but we're talking to friendly people right now. You know what I mean about that. So God's preparing us. Two voids, we talked about that. Father, I think I knew he just mentioned that too on Radio Maria not too long ago. Okay. Then she goes on to say, where's this Jesus? Therefore, as a consequence, all creatures should have filled this void with the return of their acts and by giving their wills to their creator. But since they did not do so, they saddened us. Again, this is Jesus speaking. With the most grave offense that can possibly be imagined. This is why we called you with a special mission, so that this void may be returned and filled with all that the others should have given us. That's what it means to stand in the breach, to do for others that they didn't do, didn't know to do, couldn't do, didn't want to do. God gives us an empty vessel. We return it to him filled. And this is the reason for which we disposed you with a long chain of graces and then asked you if you wanted to live in our will. And you answered, Louisa, with a firm yes. Firm and irretractable, binding your will to our throne. It's interesting when Jesus speaks about when we truly, ardently give our fiat, like our Blessed Mother did. We are surrounded with so much protection that we become impermeable to outside disturbances, to outside influences, demonic powers. We're shielded. What we have, we keep. Nobody can take that from us. Irretractable. Can't take it back. It's binding. And God makes sure that it's going to be binding. It protects our weaknesses. Beautiful. Okay. So then he ends with a very poignant statement. Quote, be attentive upon our will, because there is much to do in it. The more you do, the greater the feast you make us, and our volition will pour out in torrents inside and outside of you. Now, we shouldn't get confused here when he says, the more you do, because remember, we talked about the saints are known for what they did. He did this, she did that. And God says, no, I want you to be first now and then go out and do. Don't do, and then that's who you become. He says, it's all backwards. I'm going to do it the other way around. But when Jesus is saying here, the more you do, the harder we work, the more we attempt to unveil Jesus' humanity, which we need. As a lesson to understand what's being given to us. The more we persevere and strive to read or listen or put that into practice or restructure our days so we have more time to devote to the divine will without neglecting our other responsibilities or duties. You know, TV is not a duty. Playing golf is not a duty. Unless it's some incredible fundraiser that's going to help, you know, people to an incredible level. The more you do, the greater the feast you make us, the more pleasing it is. And our volition will pour out in torrents. God will give commensurate to our participation. So the more we do, the more he gives. He's not holding us hostage to that. It's just God is fair. God is frugal. He wants to make sure that everything given will be treasured. Wherever your treasure is, there will be your heart. Scrolling down, talked about constancy about two footnotes before. And in volume 7, Jesus speaks about constancy. Maybe we can just read this quickly, if we may. Are there any hands? I'm neglecting the screen. If anyone would like to say anything, please just raise your hand or send me a chat. Say, Pete, wake up. Okay, so this is from the Book of Heaven, Volume 7, January 30th, 1906. Constancy orders everything. Continuing my usual state, Blessed Jesus came for just a while and told me, my daughter, how necessary it is that the soul be constant in doing the good which she has started. In fact, though she has a beginning, she will have no end. And not having an end, it is necessary that she conform to the ways of the eternal God. God is just, holy, and is merciful. He is the one who contains everything, but perhaps only for one day? No, always, always, always. In the same way, the soul must not be patient, humble, and obedient one day, and impatient, proud, and capricious another day. These are broken virtues. It is like mixing black and white, excuse me, light and darkness. Everything is disorder. Everything is confusion. Ways which are completely dissimilar to her creator. In this soul, there is continuous war because passions wage war against her. In fact, in seeing themselves being nourished, so very often they hope the victory is theirs. Demons, creatures, and even virtues themselves, in seeing themselves disappointed, wage a fierce war against her and end up nauseating her. If these souls are saved, oh, how much work the fire of purgatory will have to do. So again, God will protect us. He'll make us impermeable, but we need to do our part. Okay, this was from volume 16, November 24th, 1923. This is footnote number 275. This was the last one we did last week, I believe. I was doing the hours of the Passion, in which the sorrowful mama received her dead son into her arms and placed him into the sepulcher. And I was saying, I can't see, I was saying in my interior, my mama, together with Jesus, I place all souls into your arms, that you may recognize them as your children. Inscribe them one by one into your heart and place them in the womb, in the wounds of Jesus. They are children of your immense sorrow. And this is enough for you to recognize them and to love them. And I want to place all generations in the supreme will so that no one may be missing. And in the name of all, I give you comfort, compassion, and divine relief. Again, this is a great example of that requirement or requisite, having an upright intention. Jesus is not, Luis is not speaking about herself. She's not even concerned about herself. But she's pleading for all God's children, all her brothers and sisters. That's what we need to do. That's the upright intention, or at least an example of one. We talked about extra. We'll maybe do a session on that also. It's the interior works of God, the exterior works of God. Here's a red. All right, this is a good quote. Okay. Do you see then what food the most loving mother nourishes her children? It cost her all her life, unspeakable pains, and the very life of her son to prepare within her the abundant deposit of this food of my will and to keep it ready to nourish all her children as a tender and loving mother. All the time, unwavering. We need to go to Our Lady every day, many times a day. She's our nutrient, just like a mother. Is a nutrient or provides the nutrients to her children. Okay. Your will must have no life in you, making all of the acts of my will in each creature your own. You will deposit them into yourself. And in repaying my will in the name of all, you will form within you all the necessary food to nourish all generations with the food of my will. Participation. Participating in the feeding of souls, including ourselves. Be attentive. How many times have we heard that? Be attentive. Be aware. Recognize what this gift is. And being attentive, we also have a little explanation from Jesus. It's from volumes 36, May 17, 1930. Be attentive. If the creature had to give us only what is spiritual, he could give us very little. But in giving us also his little natural acts, he can keep giving them to us always. And we are in a continuous relationship. The union between us and the creature is never broken. All the more so, for the smallest things are always at one's fingertips, within reach of the little and the great, the uneducated and the learned. Breathing, moving, attending to one's personal needs is proper of everyone. It's common to everyone. And these things never cease. If they are done to love me, to let the life of the divine will be formed in them, this is our triumph our victory, and the purpose for which we created them. That's our job. That was Adam's job. That was Eve's job. So be attentive. I watch your steps, your words, the movements of your pupils, your tiniest acts in order to form my will to have its life, its place. We don't care whether the act is natural or spiritual, big or small, but we watch attentively. He's spying on us. I watch attentively to see whether all is ours, whether our will may arise, its son of light, sanctity and love. We use even the most insignificant acts to make the most prodigious wonders, forming the most beautiful scenes to keep us all amused, happy, content. So for and in Jesus, the divine attitude, therefore, whatever your daily duties are, little by little, you must learn to always do them for the love of Jesus and in Jesus. This is what it means to be attentive to the divine will. In this way, whether you are driving a car, cutting the grass, changing a diaper, come divine will, drive with my driving, cut with my cutting, change in my changing, typing on a keyboard, your actions will have a divine value. To do everything for Jesus means to do everything with the pure intention of pleasing Jesus alone. If we remember that, that's not difficult. Father gave us this beautiful statement on supernatural operative principle of the divine will. It's really good to know and to understand. And it brings things into perspective. I think maybe this will be the last, and then we'll just go on to a couple of small things. This comes from 4.1.11 in the dissertation. Quote, since everything not attainable by means of sensitive experience that is immaterial or spiritual remains absolutely a mystery to man, it is often beyond man's ability to fully fathom God's one eternal operation, continuously engaged in the created human soul. So we're not surprised if we don't get this, understand this. Now, for the finite natural capacities of man, limited to the formation of ideas, cannot exhaust the impenetrable mysteries of God's immaterial realities. The human mind can nevertheless grasp to some extent the idea of the will of the three divine persons sustaining with its uncreated power and with its efficacious grace, the soul's finite acts without impairing its free will. God never impairs our free will. It is precisely on account of the infinite distance that passes between man's finite human nature and God's eternal divine nature that Luisa describes God's eternal operation in man as incomprehensible to the human mind and miraculous. It's a gift. It's a mystery. It's a miracle. It's a miracle we're here. I love this quote. It's a book called In Search of the Soul. It's not divine will, but yet it's very divine will. Remember, divine will is everything. And Horatio Dressler said this. This stuck with me. Quote, we shall be deeply grateful that our life has been just what it has been since it has given our soul opportunity to develop. End quote. Everything we've experienced, good, bad, the ugly, everything in our lives, God has used for greater good. Give yourself a little test. Think of one of the worst, what we consider the worst times or events in our life. Maybe life-threatening, devastating. And then ask yourself the question, if God's permissible will did not allow that event to happen, and maybe subsequent events after that, would we be here today? The answer is unequivocally no. We would not be here today. Or we might not. We know we are here because he did allow them to happen. God will never allow, through his permissible will, something to occur in our lives that he will not bring a greater good of. It's beautiful. So if you have any questions on this, or if you have any questions in general, you'd like to send in advance for Father Iannuzzi on Sunday, you may do so by sending an email to maryshill@queenofthedivinewill.org. So just to give a couple highlights. Well, we know in September, Father Celso brings back his Monday evening introduction for the priests and laity. That's Monday evenings at 7 p.m. Tuesday mornings, introduction to the divine will at 10 a.m. That comes back, I think, next week, second week of September. And besides that, we've got coming up, we've got, again, as I alluded to, Father Iannuzzi this Sunday, September 4th. Father will be with us live at 2:15, but we'll have adoration and the Holy Rosary and the Divine Will at beginning at 1:30. So it's Father Iannuzzi this Sunday. We have Father Celso's back with his second Saturday of the month, the Bible Day of Recollection, which he begins in September, and that'll be Saturday, September 10th. We'll get more information out soon, but that'll be a whole day event from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Father will give 45-minute talks. There'll be adoration. There'll be the Holy Rosary, and it's a great way to spend your Saturday if you can. And everything will be recorded if you cannot be with us. So that's good news also. So that's Saturday, September 10th. Looking toward the end of September, on our every other week, every other Sunday, we have either Mother Gabriel Marie or we have Father Anuzzi. So this is Mother Gabriel. She'll be with us on September 25th, Sunday. And my co-host that day will be Professor Daniel O'Connor. So we're excited about that. That's a Sunday, September 25th, and that's from 2 to 3:30 with Mother Gabriel, the daughters. I think everyone's back from their vacation also. And Daniel O'Connor will be here. That's really exciting. And last but not least, the end of the month on that new radio program we have, What the World Needs Now, with Ken Johnson. He's the host of that program. And we will have with us live from Italy, Mother Gabriel Marie. And that's at 5 p.m. on Wednesday afternoon, September 20th. If I can, I will update the calendar on the website. So all this is articulated there. You don't have to remember. But anyway, this will all be hopefully posted on the website this evening. So that's it. I spoke too long. Any questions, any comments, anybody want to shout at me, anything? I promise I'll unmute you. Okay. Well, thanks be to God. We're going to end. I'd like to end with a quote from the Three Appeals. And this is from our Blessed Lord. It's one line. I think it's something we can ponder as we go about our business this morning, this afternoon, this evening. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Blessed Lord asks us, quote, "My children, where are you? Why don't you return to your father? Why do you leave me?" End quote. God's bringing us back. He's brought us back to the order, the place, and the purpose which were created by God. He's brought us back to the other side, out of exile, back to our home. But he won't force us to come. But he invites us every single day, every single word, every single moment. Pray for one another, support one another. We're all we have right now. And there's not many of us. Thanks be to God for everything. Thank you all for listening. See everybody hopefully on Sunday with Father Anuzzi. Looking forward to that. Love everybody. God bless.